broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
It's good Thursday. We have a busy show in front of us. It's game one of the NBA Finals tonight. So we'll touch on that. Some recruiting news around Arizona State and a quarterback. Marvin Lewis will be with us. He cannot talk about the quarterback, the new ASU special advisor. He's a pretty good hire, but obviously I want to talk to Marvin about his time with the Bengals, Vontaze Burfict, and some other things. So we'll talk with Marvin Lewis coming up. Pedro Gomez will join us on the road. The Diamondbacks on Monday. Monday could be a game changer for the Diamondbacks for years to come. They have seven of the first 75 picks in the Major League Baseball draft. And when you can stock up that much, well, it's just really interesting what Mike Hazen is going to do. Where are you at with Greinke and Robbie Ray? Is it time to trade Archie Bradley? There's plenty of stuff I want to get to with Pedro Gomez. And then we'll have Goody at the Movies. He screened Godzilla. Good luck to him on that. He wrote about Deadwood and Robert Mueller. And I'm sure there's plenty more with Bill. That is all coming up on today's show. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And you do it with life insurance. Sagicor Now. You log on. You can get your free quote. You're sitting there watching me, listening to me this morning, wherever it is, whenever it is you take in this show. If you've not checked into life insurance, the big question is why not? Things do happen. Protect what matters most, and that is your family. And you can do it with life insurance at Sagicor. Now we appreciate Sagicor and their support. Marvin Lewis here in about 10 minutes. So tonight is game one of the NBA Finals, and what's really interesting to me is the Warriors in this postseason have started 11 different lineups. 11. And if you think about the guys that they've rolled out there, guys we haven't heard much of or have ever heard of before, when I say that Norman Powell is on the floor, you're like, really? I want to watch KD. Well, he's not on the floor. When you watch Toronto and what they're all about, Fred Van Fleet, since he had a kid, he's been a different player. Serge Ibaka, these are names that are not household front-facing names. It's not all about Kawhi. It's not all about Steph. What kind of lineup will it look like if Golden State puts DeMarcus Cousins out on the floor tonight? And, you know, I feel as though the whole Kawhi Leonard, yesterday I saw a clip of Doc Rivers. He's on one of the morning shows. And he was talking about Kawhi Leonard and how he put him right alongside of Michael Jordan, which I guess it's not tampering, right? I mean, a sitting head coach for the Clippers in an analyst role comparing Kawhi Leonard to Michael Jordan. Not tampering. No, not at all. Not even a little bit. But hey, it's entertainment. The game is in Toronto tonight, first two games. And so to see Toronto come out in this series, I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I'm actually anticipating the game tonight. I'm looking forward to tonight's game because it's not the same old stuff. Yeah, the Warriors have been there. Klay Thompson looks a little torqued that he was not named an all-NBA guy. Thus, he lost out on $30 million. So there's some intriguing storylines to me. I'm sitting here with a basketball team in Phoenix that's been lousy for almost 10 years. And yet I think they've made some moves in the right direction. Kind of reminds me of where the Warriors were back in the day or when the Sonics had Durant before they went to Oklahoma City. And then all of a sudden things got right. Yeah, you and I can sit here and say until the owner gets out of the way, we don't know. But it feels like what's going on is this is the end of the run for the Warriors, at least as they're currently constructed. You know, the Lakers can't seem to get out of their own way. This soap opera with the Lakers has made the NBA that much more interesting the last few days. All the nonsense around Magic Johnson. Like, it's one thing for Ryan McDonough to let loose on the story of the goat that was brought into his office by Robert Sarver that took a dump. You know, that story was pretty amusing. It's pretty amazing this stuff goes on. But then you hear what goes on with the Lakers. And how the Lakers haven't been in the postseason for a number of years. And how they're not really the shiny brand that they used to be. And then you have Doc Rivers, as mentioned, over there talking nicely about Kawhi Leonard. And all the time, Jerry West is sitting there on the back end of the Clippers organization, just doing what Jerry West does. And that's being really smart and really forward thinking. At the same time, in the NBA West, in the Western Conference, you have Houston yesterday. Woj comes out and says they're already looking to unload guys. that Daryl Morey's already looking to move out maybe Chris Paul. If somebody takes Chris Paul's $44.2 million, knock yourself out. If you're one of those Suns fans who thinks that this the direction he should come with that contract, think again. My point is if you look at the Western Conference, while it has been viewed as impenetrable because of the way that the Warriors have been constructed, are we starting to get to that point where some other teams could make a move? I'm not saying the Suns are going to the finals tomorrow. I don't even think they're going to the playoffs next year. But you would think with all this youth, and it feels like some competent people at the top of the organization, at least in coach and GM, that there is going to be a bit of a thawing out. I don't know where Anthony Davis is going to go. I don't think it's a good day for Anthony Davis when he looks at what's going on in L.A. with the Lakers and says, you know what, that's where I want to go. And he meets with David Griffin out in L.A., and who knows what's going to happen with New Orleans. Yeah, they're going to get Zion, but beyond that, what else are they going to have if they have to move Anthony Davis? Long-winded dissertation about tonight's opening game one of the finals. You have Toronto, that's never happened for them before, so the city's geeked. You have Kawhi Leonard emerging out of the shadows of a really good star player in San Antonio into a superstar player, even though he doesn't really embrace that role. And you have the Warriors, I think, going through maybe a last hurrah a little bit. So that's all going on tonight in basketball. Very much looking forward to that. When we first started doing this company, I told Eric and I've told those that have come along since that focus on community. I feel as though our industry, which has been under siege, has not been doing enough community, has not been doing enough grassroots. And so when I see a story on the front page of the LA Times about how LeBron James' kid and Dwayne Wade's kid are going to team up and play high school basketball together, and it's on the front page of the LA Times Sports, and how LeBron's kid is going to go over to a different high school from where he was at Crossroads. And you look at it and say, this is what people are now interested in. The lines to watch, the kids of NBA guys, the video, the followers. There's over 1 million followers already on a 14-year-old's Instagram because he's LeBron James' kid, Bronny James. But Dwayne Wade and LeBron James' kid are going to team up and play high school basketball together starting next year. They'll be freshmen. And there'll be gobs of people lined up to see that. It doesn't mean all the other sports are bad. It just means that the commitment to community, people do care. On the college football front, in this same vein, Chubba Purdy. So Arizona State football has not had a local quarterback stay at home and come through and play in a big way since Ryan Keeley. They've had quarterbacks that have stayed at home that have come through. They had one just recently from Bash High School. Didn't pan out. Just didn't happen. Didn't work out. He didn't take the stage. But Chubba Purdy is the latest that Arizona State has offered. They've tried to get in with quarterbacks. I think the last one, and Eric helped me out on this one, I think the last one that it came down to ASU and someone else was Brian Lewerke. Wasn't it? I mean, we had Lewerke on. It was Michigan State and ASU. He looked strong at ASU.
Yes, I believe that is the case. But, well, Bryce Perkins.
So Bryce Perkins was here, but it didn't work out.
Right.
Didn't work out.
But he signed from high school.
He signed from high school.
He wasn't a bounce back. So
he wasn't a bounce back, but it didn't finish his career here. If he did, he'd be the guy this year. And he probably, in my opinion, would have been playing over Manny last year. In my humble opinion.
Probably, considering what he did at Virginia. So.
Yeah. So Chubba Purdy is the latest name that is out there that Arizona State has now offered. They badly want Chubba Purdy. Chubba Purdy today is getting on a plane and he's going to Louisville. Why Louisville? Because Louisville was the first to get in on him, one of the first to get in on him. And they've done, from my understanding, a solid job from start to finish in trying to get him across the line. He's going to be at Louisville tonight and tomorrow. Sunday, he's going to be at Purdue. Why Purdue? Once again, solid group that's been on top of him. He's going to go to Kansas on Tuesday, Kansas State on Wednesday. Why Kansas? Because you get your heads kicked in there. Because Les Miles has been all over him. Les Miles has been persistent, has been dogged after him. I can't see it, but that's his deal. Kansas State's another program, new head coach. Passionate fan base, good conference. You're going to get recognized. You're going to get noticed without question. And then next Friday, he's going to be at Michigan State. Michigan State came out here. Michigan State has been after him. Lewerke is leaving. The quarterback room may be a little light. Yeah, there'll be other guys. He's not afraid to compete. Is Arizona State going to get to a point where they say, you know what, we have moved on? I don't know that. I get the sense that Arizona State would like to get their class done here in the next in that position before we get through about the middle part of June. And so, yeah, there's been meetings. Yeah, he sat with Rob Likens for 3 hours. Yeah, he watched film. Yeah, I've been with him when his phone's blown up from other schools. He's still in an active recruiting space. Why hasn't he committed to Arizona State as of yet? I think he's doing the right thing by going out and just seeing what else is out there. The question I would have is, will Arizona State wait on him? It's a very fair point on both parties. We'll talk with Marvin Lewis next, new Arizona State special advisor, about coming on board with Herm Edwards. He will join us on the other side, then Pedro Gomez and Goody at the Movies. Busy, busy Thursday. I'm Brad Sussmat. So yesterday morning, my phone started blowing up, actually the day before when the news of Marvin Lewis started to leak out. And it was people from around the country, college football fans, media saying, wow, what a hire coming out of left field. And I thought, well, not really. If you look at what Herm Edwards had said on his opening press conference and Ray Anderson as well about the NFL model, Marvin Lewis was free. You know, I heard him do some games with the Alliance. He lives here in the Valley, so ASU hires him as the special advisor. He now jumps on board, transitioning from the NFL over to the college game, and he joins us here for a couple of minutes. How are you, Marvin?
I'm great. Good morning. How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. Did this come out of left field for you?
No. It did not come out of left field for me. It's something that, Herman and I have spent a lot of time together, and as soon as the season was over last year, he reached out to me right away, and just wanted to know what I thought was next, and let me know that if I had an interest, that there may be something here that could work out for me here on campus.
Let me go back further than that. When he was hired by Arizona State, were you surprised?
I was a little bit surprised. Ray told me that something big was going to break, and I was going to be surprised by it. And Ray Anderson gave me a little bit of a heads up and through the process. But anyway, so yeah, it did. And so I remember calling Herm right away. Literally, he was on a plane going through the NCAA manual, learning what he could and couldn't do.
Yeah. No, and I think you, coaches know, don't they, in this space, Marvin, of I think I may be looking for employment elsewhere at the end of the season. I'm just wondering, as the Bengals started to wind down, in the back of your mind, was it, you know what, I could go over to Arizona State?
Oh, I know. I wasn't concerned that way with any of that. Mm-hmm. My focus is just was each and every week of our games, and didn't really worry about what was in the future for me, that way at all.
So now you come on board, and there's fans wondering, what exactly will you be doing? Are you going to be senior executive vice president of everything, as I like to put it, where guys are just, hey, can you do this? Can you recruit here? Can you meet with this group? Can you oversee this? Is that what it will look like?
Well, my role is going to be with the football staff and to provide them first an analysis of the upcoming opponents and present to them each and every week. Secondly, to be able to have keen eyes, self-scout of our own football here, and then to be another set of eyes and ears for Herman throughout the week and what things look like, and be a sounding board for the coaches as they install their plan.
Will you go into living rooms at some point?
No, I will not. No, I can play a role here on campus, but I'm not allowed to because of the NCAA recruit off campus.
So in that space, if a recruit comes on board, you can walk with them around the building. I'm trying to drill down for fans and specifics on it.
Yeah, right. I can have a role here once they come to visit the campus.
So when you sit with a family, have you thought that through yet? What will your message be to them?
Well, I think number one that the the vision of ASU football here is to have the opportunity to educate the young man, for him to get his degree, and have him move on if he's good enough. All these guys have aspirations that after 3 years, they're going to go to the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
And it's set up here through the summer school program and so forth for them to have that opportunity, if indeed they're that talented. But the main thing is you get an opportunity to get your college degree and now have the opportunity to move forward in your life and your career if the NFL is what it is.
And I think the 16 years, obviously, with the Bengals, but you also were with the Ravens. You've been with Brian Billick. I mean, you've been with a lot of people. It's not like it's just you and Herman in this case.
No, I've been fortunate. I really benefited when I became a head coach because I had the opportunity to work for a couple of first-time head coaches in Bill Cowher, Brian Billick, it was just their first opportunity. So I had a chance to observe and see how they did things and be an earshot of the people they relied on and so forth as they became head coach for the first time.
Marvin, I'm curious, and I've had this question asked to me in the last couple of days. When you have a player that has had tough stuff go on, you've dealt with that player. I can just use Vontaze Burfict because we know Vontaze Burfict from here. Do you see that being a space where you can sit with practically any family situation and say, guys, I've seen this through the National Football League, and I can be here to help and assist and get through? It's not an always easy straight path for kids.
It's not an always easy. It's 100%. It's not always easy, clean cut like that. I think every situation is its own situation, and you have to analyze it that way, and then a decision has to be made when you gather all the information. I think that's very important, and I think it's important for everybody to sign off on it. And when you're on a campus, you know, that starts at the top, from the president of the university all the way down. And that's what, you know, the role of Herman's role is, as well as the people that he reports to. But yeah, unfortunately, I've seen everything.
Yeah,
and it's not always perfect.
When you look on the Vontaze situation specifically, what do you take away from you coaching him through the years?
Oh, Vontaze was a fantastic football player, and you know, the thing that Vontaze has to continue to do is keep his body healthy and keep himself on the field for him to continue to be a productive NFL player. But his mind and how he works and how he does things is tremendous.
Did you feel you made a difference with him, Marvin?
Oh, I don't know. I don't take responsibility for making a difference with guys that way. That's their determination. My job is to coach them and help them grow as young men as best I can.
How about learning Pac-12 conference? I mean, you're coming to a new conference, and obviously you have a non-conference schedule to open up with Kent State and Sac State. But Pac-12, what do you see from a distance now that you're coming into it?
Well, I've been very familiar with the coaches here. This is a conference that has tremendous football coaches, and you know, they all do a very, very good job. And that's the thing. You know, I've been familiar with these guys because I've been inside their buildings evaluating their players over the years. And so I'm impressed with the ability of the coaches within this conference, no question about it.
Appreciate the time. Look forward to seeing you and meeting you in person. Appreciate it today, Marvin. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much.
It's Marvin Lewis on board now with ASU, ASU Special Advisor. Appreciate his time. Up next, Pedro Gomez with us. A lot going on in the baseball diamond. Then Bill Goodykuntz on a busy Thursday. Time now to turn our attention towards Monday with the baseball draft. Diamondbacks have 7 of the first 75 picks. There's other things I want to get to Pedro Gomez about, ESPN baseball analyst, insider, good friend of the program. Where are you today?
I am in Sugar Land, Texas, working on a feature that should run in the next 8 days or so. That's probably as far as I can tell you right now. I got to hold off on the exact subject. Sorry.
Is it baseball related?
It is baseball related. It is.
Yeah. Is it Major League Baseball related?
Yes, it is tied to a Major League Baseball player.
Is it, am I getting warmer? Is it bigger than a bread box? Smaller than a toaster?
It is.
Yeah, all right. I got you. Okay, so what are we to make out of this Monday for the Diamondbacks? 7 of 75 picks. This is either the turning point of the franchise for the foreseeable future, or man, did they crap the bed on this? I mean, I don't remember this much excitement around a draft for the Diamondbacks. Probably was the Trevor Bauer and go back to Bierbrot and all those guys. I mean, this is big, Pedro.
Upton,
yeah.
Upton and Drew and yeah, no, it is big. And I would say this, if you want to be the Diamondbacks' first round pick this year, you're going to be in a very, very strong position because of what happened last year when the Diamondbacks failed to sign their first round pick and, you know, eventually went on to UCLA and where he's had a tremendous freshman season. But you've got to realize that there's no way the Diamondbacks can lose first round picks 2 years in a row. So you're going to be in a tremendous position of strength, whoever you are as the number one pick. Brad, the other thing I would say is if you just look at recent history with Mike Hazen, you know, I went and looked at last year. Of the first 26 picks that the Diamondbacks had, 22 were college players.
Mm.
And as we know, college players tend to be a lot closer to the major leagues than high school players. Now, there are the exceptions. You do take a high school player if the upside is just so tremendous that you think, okay, we're going to have to take a little bit of time, but this is going to be worth it. Let's not forget a guy like Mike Trout was a high school player.
Mm.
And he certainly panned out in a huge way. So you do take those guys if it's the right guy. But looking at the recent history, it looks like the Diamondbacks like to take a lot of college players.
Okay, so while it is 7 of 75, the first pick is not until the 16th overall. It's kind of hard to say what direction. You did allude to the college side of things, but is this a definite pitcher market for Mike Hazen? Have you picked up enough from the organization what direction they want to go?
I think it has to be, especially when you look at how thin the starting rotation is. You know, you have some injuries, you have some guys underperforming, and all of a sudden you really are reaching. And I'm not just talking about this year. Let's look at last season when they had to go get a guy like Clay Buchholz, you know, and to finish out the season, things like that. So you have got to believe that pitching is going to be priority. I'd be surprised if, let's say, of the first 10 picks or so, that seven or so are not pitchers. You know, and you look at a major league roster, you look at any roster, of a 25-man roster, 12 are pitchers. So that's half the team, basically.
Right.
So you've got to look at that direction, especially when there is such a need for it at the higher end.
Pedro Gomez with us, ESPN Baseball Analyst Insider. He is in Sugar Land, Texas, working on a story that he will not divulge, which we're fine with. When is Dallas Keuchel? When is Craig Kimbrell? When are they going to get off the market? Now that we're past Memorial Day weekend and teams basically know what they have, is it a matter of Kimbrell and Keuchel wanting more than a one-year deal? Is it their feeling that, you know what, I'm not quite ready. If I go out there, I'm going to embarrass myself, hurt myself this coming November. If they get a two- or three-year deal, would they be able to sign immediately? What is going on with those two?
It'll all happen for both of those guys right after the draft, because if you sign them right now before the draft, you still have to give up compensation picks. And at this point, there's not a major league club around that is going to say it's worth the 5 days, 2 days, 3 days until the draft takes place in order to sign these guys. So it's not going to be until after the draft, which will be after June 5th, because the draft takes place over the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And at that point, yes, they will sign. And I would really be surprised if it is for more than 1 year, because you're gonna say to yourself, okay, maybe somebody else will give them 2 years, we'll let them do it, but at this point let's let them prove what they're worth and put the onus on them to perform for the rest of this season. But obviously they've lost out on a huge amount of money.
Yep.
And at this point, even if they sign next week, Brad, they're not going to pitch in their first major league game probably until July 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So they've already missed half the season at that point. They're only going to get half. And what you've seen in years past is that guys that do sign this late and start their season this late, they tend to have a really horrible season. So whatever you get, it's almost a buyer beware thing. But they are major league quality resumes that you're looking at, and somebody will bite. But I would strongly believe that the money is not going to be anywhere near what either of them was expecting.
Okay, so if you look just today at the standings, and which I did before this, there's six teams that are in the American League that are going to fight it out. It looks to me like there's already big separation there. In the National League, not so much. There's maybe two or three teams total that are out of contention. So a landing spot for either one of these teams, you look at a team like Atlanta that has a lot of money, from my view, that looks like they've come a ways. Wouldn't they appear to be, and Kimbrel's been there before, a team to look at? I wouldn't imagine the Diamondbacks would have any shot at either one of these two.
I don't even know if the Diamondbacks would want to jump in on this. I mean, obviously, look, a guy like Keuchel does take the ball every 5 days.
Yep.
But again, you're looking at the last 3 months of the season at this point, and in terms of the money, if it really was worth it, I think a team like the Diamondbacks would have said, with all the draft picks they have, they would have bit the bullet and said, yeah, we'll get them. Who cares if we have to give up a compensation pick? That's okay. It's worth it. So for that reason, I don't think the Diamondbacks will be in play for either of these guys. But, you know, you look at a team like the Red Sox, who have issues at the back end of the bullpen, and Kimbrel was there last season when they won the World Series. That certainly could be a landing spot. The Yankees have had a lot of injuries. That could be a landing spot. The Twins may decide, let's really go for it, because the American League looks like we have a chance this year. So why not, you know, just continue to do what we've already done all winter and fortify the club. So I would be surprised if either of these guys doesn't land in what is considered a more of a sure lock type of place to contend. Look, the Cubs have had bullpen issues.
Yeah.
A guy like Kimbrel could certainly fortify that spot. They don't even have a closer. So that could certainly be a spot where a guy like Kimbrel could play a huge role. So I'd just be surprised if it wasn't a true contender where either of these guys land.
Pedro Gomez with us. Before I let you get out of here, so we are past Memorial Day, one of the benchmarks of the season. You look at the Diamondbacks, and now they've had the injury to Weaver. We don't know the severity of it. It doesn't sound good.
Look good. No.
Yeah, you see where Robbie Ray is just turned into this 5 2/3, 4 walks, 3 strikeouts guy. Nice guy. He's been here a long time. Greinke is sitting out there. Once Keuchel's off the market, you would think some teams would come after him. Are they in a space, while they are just two back in the wild card, we're sitting here at the end of May, that you expect – 2 months from now, they're going to be out of sight, or do you think they have enough staying power in the National League this year?
Look, the way the Dodgers are playing, I don't know that anybody in the West has enough staying power to stay with them.
Sure.
So now you're looking at a possible only wild card decision to look at. And I think Mike Hazen always has taken the bigger picture look at situations. So I would suggest that they probably will be sellers. And they certainly have some pieces that other clubs would want. Look, Adam Jones has shown to be what Adam Jones was in Baltimore.
Yeah.
He is a glue guy in the clubhouse. He is a performer on the field. Now, you're not going to get a huge return, but you're going to get something for a guy like that. You know, Zach Greinke, again, it comes down to how much Ken Kendrick is willing to eat of the remainder of his contract. But again, that's a piece that could really bring you something in return. And depending on how much money you get, will be the higher prospect or a midline prospect that all is tied together. So Robbie Ray is still somebody that a lot of clubs view as a front end of a rotation type guy, you know, a number two, maybe a number three type guy in a rotation.
I agree.
And clubs still like him. So he would probably be able to get you something. I can't see the Diamondbacks having the staying power to contend for the season. I think that they've done amazing work to be here almost on June 1st and be a 500 club. But, you know, at the end of the day, you are what you are. And, you know, at the beginning of the season, you and I talked, and I didn't see a 500 club. A lot of scouts didn't see a 500 club. And, you know, we're here a little over a third of the way into the season, and they're just a 500 club at this point, but going in the wrong direction.
Right. And some of that, Pedro, is Archie Bradley. I think it's time to address this.
Yep. Well,
so what do you do moving forward with Archie Bradley? Has his time in Arizona finished? What else can you do with him at this point? He is turned into the guy that fans are booing and getting on.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes it's hard to turn that tidal wave away from you once it starts. There's obviously one way to do it, and that's to perform. And Archie has performed in the past, but certainly it hasn't been that way this season, and by and large, at least. So it really, to a large degree, is in Archie's hands what happens to Archie. Again, there's a lot of investment there. It's a first-round draft pick. It's a guy that has been a performer for you. But again, you don't ever go into the first round of a draft and say, we're looking at this guy as our eighth-inning setup guy. That's not how you view first-round draft picks. He fell into that spot because both at closer and as a starter, it didn't work, so they found a role for him. That's going to maybe make the decision easier for the Diamondbacks on that end because, like I said, you don't ever draft a guy in the first round saying this is going to be our eighth-inning bridge guy.
Right, right. No, and I think if and when you trade him or Zach, obviously you're waving the white flag. I myself feel like they can hang in there on the wild card. There's no way they're catching the Dodgers. But I don't see if they can get Archie turned and get a little bit better starting pitching. Yeah, their offense has been hit and miss, no question. It's a Band-Aid team. But I think waving the white flag here on June 1st is still a mistake. It doesn't feel like there's teams in the wild card chase that are going to run away from each other. And I could be wrong on that, but I would not gut it yet. I would give it till July 4th.
I would say when you look at the clubs that are also kind of floundering in the same area, you see more reason for you to believe. Look, if that club gets a little bit going, look, the Rockies, let's take.
Sure.
If Kyle Freeland finds himself and John Gray finds himself, and they have proven it in the past, then the Diamondbacks are not even close to being what the Rockies can be.
Yeah, Blackman comes healthy. If Charlie Blackman gets healthy, no, you're right. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, exactly. They have better pieces.
Yeah.
So you could see that team saying, okay, there's no way the Diamondbacks can hang with that team, even if they're healthy. There's other clubs, too, that you look at and say, I just don't know, like the Cardinals. The Cardinals have been playing really bad ball for about a month now. But you look at their roster, you look at their rotation, and you can see where if they get going, if they get traction, the Diamondbacks aren't as good as the Cardinals right now.
Right.
So, you know, there's you look at what the other clubs in the league are capable of, and I'm not sure the Diamondbacks stack up well against the higher, I don't want to say higher level because they're also floundering at this point, but the teams with a higher upside.
No, I got you. Stay well. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
Okay, Brad.
It's Pedro Gomez on the road. Always good to catch up with Pedro, ESPN baseball analyst, insider. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Susmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, it was good to catch up with Pedro. It's even better to catch up with Goody at the movies. I like Bill better than Pedro. No, I shouldn't say that. I like both of them. How are you? Pedro's great.
Former colleague of mine.
AZ Central Gannett, chief film and media critic. Because you're a media critic, can I just run something by you?
Sure.
I'm sitting here looking at a headline, Patino criticizes Greek fans for smoking at games. And this is on the front page of ESPN.com. They also have a story on their front page right now of LeBron James and Dwayne Wade's kid going to high school together and Nick Foles caring for his wife after a miscarriage, which is awful. But my point is, the day of just talking about sticks and bats and balls and results, are we seeing this the same way that this is going by the wayside and it's more about the human interest story nowadays than ever before?
Certainly more than ever before, but I think that that's been a trend in news for a long time, not just sports, but all of media. I think a problem, it depends also on your sort of mode of delivery. Like if you get a newspaper, everybody's deadlines are too early now. You can't get baseball scores in particular in.
Right.
And that's why you see these feature stories that will say, you know, for the results of last night's game, click on AZ Central or LA Times.com or whatever. But I think that one of the things that happened, there was a big shift in the 90s in news where people really started getting more into these sort of featurey stories. And NBC News with Tom Brokaw really picked up on that, and they started to really focus on that kind of stuff, sometimes to the exclusion of harder news. And Dan Rather, meanwhile, at CBS, was still really going hard after it, and that led to Tom Brokaw with one of my all-time favorite quotes, where he said of Dan Rather, "Yeah, every time a hard wind blows, there's old Mr. Hard News swinging from a lamppost somewhere." trying to cover.
That's great. It's funny. Good to eat the movies with us. Let's go over to Godzilla. You screened this. When I saw that it was coming out, I was just, I wasn't interested. I was not a Godzilla kid as a kid.
Some people say that they were, but typically what you were getting were these sort of dubbed versions of Japanese movies.
Yeah.
And they're kind of fun, and they're kind of goofy, and they're fun to, you know, late at night if you're switching through. I wasn't really either. But what they've done now is everything after Marvel has to be its own universe. So there's the Marvel Cinematic Universe or whatever. Now there's also what is called the Monsterverse, and it includes the first Godzilla movie, well, the first of this bunch, which was in 2014. This movie takes place 5 years after that, but in between there was Kong Skull Island. He is also part of this Monsterverse. In 2020 there is going to be a movie of Kong versus Godzilla. So it's like everything else in the world, it's sort of homogenized, franchised, and packaged for your easy consumption.
Is it any good?
Not really.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay. They try. This is interesting because I went back and I looked at my review of the 2014 one, and it's not quite to the extent that one was. But for some reason, I saw a Godzilla movie, and probably I would not on my own, my own volition. But I was doing it for work. But if I'm going to go to see a Godzilla movie, I kind of want to see Godzilla, I want to see a big old monster do a bunch of destructive stuff. And in the first one of these, they waited more than an hour before they even said his name. And in this one, they wait about 45 minutes before you see him. So there's a lot of setup. The thing that's weird is they're really good actors in this movie. And, I'm sure it's a big payday, and it's probably kind of fun to stand there in front of a green screen and scream or something, but it never quite does it for me. He's sort of like the Incredible Hulk. He's sort of a good guy, but he's so uncontrollable that not really, you can't really, you never know what you're going to get. Batman's complicated, but you kind of know that he's going to do the right thing in the long run. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't look good, but I'm glad that you saw it and get out of the way. I'm curious your view on the USS John McCain and Donald Trump.
What can you say? I mean, my kids are more mature. that one, he says, that he didn't know anything about it, and that these are just people that who he said were acting in good faith. I don't know that qualifies as good faith. I think that every day it seems like, and I think that this has been really effective, and we've talked about this before, when 10 things are happening a day, and that was not the most important thing that happened yesterday.
No, that's true.
But when 10 things happen a day, the mind and the media can't keep up with all of them.
Yeah.
You kind of got to ditch one to get to the next. And I don't know whether that is a pattern that's on purpose or whether it's just kind of the way that things have worked out. I don't know, but I think it does work for Trump. And I think to the harm of the country.
Well, the strategy of it, Bill, it does feel as though that there is always, I don't know if it's 10, but if it's Mueller, if it's that yesterday, whatever it may be, it feels like every day there's a few things going on in the cycle. The wall stopped being built yesterday because the contractor didn't have the right permits. There's just something every single day now, it feels like. And it used to be you'd wait every 4 years and you'd follow politics. But now politics is leading every day divisively, I might add, from my view. So
I think you can't get away with it. And I think that it's leading to some bad things, I believe. I think that certain people, what you used to would think of, and you still should, as sort of bad actors, but these sort of nationalist types, these racist types, these prejudicial type of people, there's no question in my mind that they feel emboldened by this. And they think, well, if it can happen from the top, then I can finally, reveal my true self too. And I think that's really dangerous. They need to bring in Godzilla.
You gotta pay attention to the finals starting tonight, Toronto Warriors.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. But again, my claim to fame. I went to high school with Steph Curry's mom. I don't know that it'll be much of a finals, but actually Greg Moore and I talked about this. We've been doing these little fun videos, and we talked about this the other day. It almost seems like the entire season is just sort of a prelude to free agency to try to figure out where these guys are going to go. I hope it goes seven games. I hope everything goes seven games, but I suspect it won't. And I think that then we're going to get down to the business of, where does Durant go or whatever.
Right. But I do think that is a good storyline of Kawhi Leonard free agency and Doc Rivers saying yesterday on ESPN as an analyst, even though he's a sitting head coach, Kawhi Leonard is the next Michael Jordan. Oh, okay, that's not tampering. All right, I'm just being clear on this. So
you can say it there. You just can't say it to Jimmy Kimmel.
That's right. See you later. Thanks. It was good at the movies. Appreciate Bill with us. All right, we're going to go from here to work on stuff over on the website. We have our TV show as well. Next week, we'll get back at it. It airs on Fox Sports Arizona Tuesday, Wednesdays, Thursdays. We appreciate the partnership with them. Devin Henry is our chairman of the board today. Eric, as always, produces. There is a lot of content up on the site, and it's very diverse. I love the fact that we're all over the place. Devin is doing a great job on the sport of speed if you want to check out his content. And Eric has his deep dive, his notebooks that he does, his zone reads. You can check that as well. If you just joined us, this show repeats hour after hour after hour. We will see you on Monday.